Welcome to the IM Radio Network, where noted authority coaches, authors, and speakers collaborate and bring to you the best in radio, TV, and live events worldwide. And now, the IM Radio Network proudly presents the Dr. Simone Show with your host, Dr. Simone Revies. Get ready to go. Interactive.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Simone Show, The Mind-Body Edge, where we speak of things involving human behavior, health, life experiences, consciousness, the brain, and the like. These issues are vital for us to uncover and discuss because they can educate us, heal us, help us grow, and improve the condition of humanity and our planet as a whole, or so we intend. Let me tell you a little bit about me, which will help you understand why I'm hosting this radio show. In my other life, I was a former psychologist, and at present, I'm a certified business and life coach and a brain coach. I'm absolutely fascinated by neuroscience, and I'm fortunate in that I knew when I was really young what my life purpose was, and that was that I wanted to help others. I think that came in large part from having two anthropologist parents and having a lot of traveling experience when I was quite young, and seeing a great deal of beauty and wonderful things, but also seeing a lot of pain and suffering amongst people and in different cultures, and wanting to be of help to them and improve their condition. So the bug got me quite young, and I've had that since then. I decided to become a coach because I felt I could reach out to more people that way and spread the message about how much we can do to change our lives and to achieve the lives that we truly want, the lives that we've dreamed of, that we aspire to, and how things can get in the way, our thoughts, our feelings, our behaviors, but how we can actually take control over those things, change them, and largely through retraining our brains, we can make drastic transformations in our life. So that brings me to today. And I'm going to introduce my guest to you. He is truly an amazing person. His name is Jason Rosado. About Jason, it might be his years developing employees and leaders through training and management roles at companies like Deutsche Bank and Microsoft, or his work starting in 2006 when he created Distinctive Coaching for Business Success to help business owners with productivity, organizational development, and business growth, or his recent growth in the last few years as a mindset coach and an energy worker using advanced coaching and healing techniques, or maybe a mix of those experiences. Whatever it is that fuels Jason's drive to see others succeed, his passion is clear. He loves helping business owners and leaders who are working too many hours and feeling overwhelmed and stressed when they should be having the time of their lives to work more effectively, get back on track to loving their work and feeling fulfilled, and create powerful, thriving organizations as they live the life they've always wanted. So it is my great pleasure to introduce you to Jason Rosado.
Hello.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm great, Dr. Simone. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully well. Thank you.
You're welcome.
As I mentioned, it's my great pleasure to have you here. I love your bio. You know, you've had a diversity of experiences, but what really comes through is that passion towards wanting to help others.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a running theme through my life. And luckily, I was able to follow it and, you know, get to where I am now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So would you say that that is your why or your life purpose that you feel?
Yeah. Wow. I say wow because I feel like that's such a big question. And, you know, everything that we've been going through recently in our world, in our country, in our cities, like normally I wouldn't even probably talk about this stuff during an interview like this, but you know, you're just, yeah, you're talking about why. I mean, I just really, really felt it so strongly over the past, especially over the past week, with all the, you know, all the stuff going on, the shootings and police getting killed and civilians getting killed and all this stuff. In, you know, when, so like the past week, I was in this place where I didn't know what I should do. I really, you know, I feel so anguished and sad and upset and everything that so many people in our country are going through right now. And then I took a deeper look and tried to figure out, okay, so kind of what does this mean? How do I fit into this and what can I do? And it goes back to what you were just saying. That's what made me think of it. The why. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, yeah, I'm here like you are to help people change their lives for the better. And if we do that, you know, even just one by one, we all do that, then collectively it should solve most, if not all, of these problems.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I mean, normally the short answer to what you say would just be, yep, that's my why. I totally love helping people. I get a huge high off of hearing clients when I'm working with somebody and they make huge breakthroughs. They see their business grow. They're able to decrease their work hours. They're able to be a better manager, a better motivator, delegator, a better marketer, a better salesperson who comes from a place of service, do all these things and be able to work less, you know, stress less, be able to grow their business, touch more people, help more people. All those things are excellent. I love them. And like I said, during this past week, it just brought it to a whole new level of why we all need to dig deep and figure out what it is that we are meant to do, what our strengths are, what our gifts are, how we contribute to society and to each other and to this family of humanity that's mm-hmm. global. And, you know, we really all just need to tap into each other and support each other.
Yeah. And I think that that's one of the biggest gaps, one of the biggest things that's missing is that sense or the realization of the reality that we all are united and that our fate depends upon the recognition and practices based on that fact.
Oh my gosh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, thank you for sharing that. That's wonderful. I'm sure you have a lot of people thinking that are listening, thinking now about their purposes in life and how whether they may be able to enlarge them and enhance them to be of help to other people as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to, as I'm mentioning that, and the audience, I wanted to be sure to give out the phone number that people can call in on and ask any questions of Jason or make any comments. The number to call is 657-383-1534. That's 657-383-1534. Great. So, Jason, what do you think a coach is really meant to do?
What do I think a coach is really meant to do? Well, you know, people can go to, and you, you know this stuff because of your background and, you know, the therapy setting and now the coaching setting.
Right.
People can go to therapists, they can go to trainers, they can go to consultants, they can read books, they can watch videos, they can read articles, they can go to workshops, and all of these things are very good. All these things are can be very helpful. And I think coaching comes into play where, you know, I remember once talking to a potential client, and she was in sales. She was new in her organization. Her name was Sarah. And she wasn't quite that new. She had been in her organization for about a year and in her company for about a year. And she was saying, you know, I've tried all these things and all the things that I just mentioned. And like, when's it going to click? She's like, I keep trying to learn, trying to improve, keep trying to take in more and more information. I'm spending so much time and energy. When is it going to click? And we were in a networking group together. This was actually over a coffee, and we were chatting to get to know each other, to try to provide referrals to each other.
Right.
And earlier she asked me what I did. You know, I told her, and then I circled back to that. I said, well, you know, Sarah, before you ask me what it is that I do, and that's what I'm the click.
Mm-hmm.
I help you as a coach to take all these things that you've been studying and all this information you've been pouring into you to actually congeal and turn into something directed, you know, with direction, mm-hmm. with focus, because we can take all this stuff in, but without that direction, that focus, and how does this all this information apply specifically to me? And without being able to answer that question, it doesn't do anywhere near as much good as it will when you do answer that question.
Right.
Because all that information is already out there, you know, and we just keep putting more on ourselves. That's what we do, so people can get to know us.
Right.
And if everybody could just read a book, watch some videos, and, you know, maybe even take a course or a weekend workshop and be hugely successful, that's what people would be doing. But there, it takes more than that. So,
right.
You know, yeah. So I see a coach as being that click, that catalyst, mm-hmm. that force for change that can help you to clear your vision, figure out what it is really that you want, you know, uncover some of the internal blocks, obstacles, things that stop us from really seeing what we want, what's inside of us, what we can accomplish, and then take all the information and help us to create a path to get to where we want to go.
Right.
And then walk our clients down that path with them.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that walking down the path with them is one of the most powerful aspects of coaching. Because what you're talking about is helping people to make changes in their lives. And that's very frightening for most people, is change.
Yeah.
So being able to go down that path with somebody else makes a whole world of difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know it did for me, and it does for me, you know, when I work with my coaches.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I even have more than one coach. So.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I've got a few coaches.
Do you?
Yeah. It's, well, you know, it's. Yeah, it's hard to. I've got a health coach. I've got a marketing coach. I've got a general like business coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I rely on all these people in different ways. You know, and they give me, even though it, ironically, when I'm talking to any one of them, some of the other stuff can come up.
Oh, of course.
You know, right. Because everything's intertwined. Mm-hmm. But it's good to, you know, even just get that one person who's going to be with you, who can help you cut through what you need to see and move forward. You don't need necessarily three or more coaches. But it, you know, it certainly can help.
Right. And I myself also have some coaches, and it as you said, it really, it just helps us stay on track and helps us get an objective perspective about ourselves and all the benefits that people get from coaches, you know, coaches get from coaches too. So,
yeah,
including that sense of accountability, which is so powerful. Having to be accountable to somebody really increases the odds that you will achieve your goals.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your personal story and how it's led you to where you are now.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of people have a similar story, or their story hasn't been written yet, but they have a similar longing, desire, you know, in their mind, in their heart. So I think my story, it's fun to tell for me, because I think it's a great story, but it's also great for other people to hear, to realize that, yes, this is what happens with a lot of people. So going back to what we said, you know, sort of like my calling, my why, is really to help people. It's to see people improve, see people. I just have this thing, like, I want to see people be happier. I don't think we are here to be depressed. Of course, there's like medical stuff that can come up and, you know, life crises that can happen that can change things. But generally speaking, we're not here to be depressed, to be angry, to be uncertain about what we should do. I really believe we are here to be compassionate, to have joy, to really enjoy ourselves, enjoy our work, enjoy our life outside of work. And so, you know, my background, I always had this, for me, being in joy is helping people to see those things, helping them to improve in lots of different ways. So, you know, during the course of my life, I mean, I've had leadership roles in different organizations. I used to run a restaurant. So I used to manage a restaurant, and I was in a fraternity, and I was vice president at one point in my fraternity. I held different offices and different chair positions, so sort of, you know, a younger thing. And I was also in Boy Scouts before that. And I was an Eagle Scout, or I should say I am an Eagle Scout.
Right.
Yeah, and even going back before that, in elementary school and preschool, I remember working with a teacher or teachers, you know, working with the teachers to help tutor and teach some of the other kids, you know, stuff that I was good at that they weren't quite there yet, and helping them with that stuff. I actually went to a Montessori preschool and early elementary school, which I don't know for people who are familiar with Montessori, but it's predicated, the entire philosophy of education is based on older children helping younger children to learn. So children are grouped in multiple ages together.
Right.
Which is
I went
fantastic.
To a Montessori school too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, my brothers and I all went. And then I was so high on Montessori method that's really the best educational system, I think, especially for young kids, that when I was still pregnant, I went and registered my son, soon to be son. When I was still pregnant, I registered him in Montessori school. I wanted to make sure that there was a place for him.
Yeah. Wow. That's something.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. My son is, he'll be 5 in September. And so he's been in Montessori preschool now he just finished his 3rd year.
Great.
And we're lucky. Yeah. It's interesting because where I live, I'm in Oak Park, just outside of Chicago. And when I grew up, there was only one Montessori school in this area, and that's the one I went to, and my sister and I went. And now there are, I want to say, like 9, I think,
in the town,
in my town and in the town surrounding us. So it was interesting because we went through and took a look at each one and figured out what's going to be best for my son and his special needs, and you know, which school is going to fit him best. And, you know, it's the same thing. So kind of taking it back to present day and into other people's situations, it's the same thing. You want to make sure that your job, your business, your thing that you're doing career-wise is the best fit for you, is going to give you and feed you what you need to thrive, the environment, mm-hmm. the personalities around you to support you, the content itself, the tasks, all these things are really important. Most people don't look at that when they're looking for a job or when they're thinking about opening a business. They just look at, can I do these required tasks
exactly.
and how well?
Mm-hmm.
And even hiring managers and business owners who hire people, and also this is a lot of where I work with them to help them. You know, they do the same thing from the other side of the desk. They just say, well, I need somebody who can do A, B, and C. This person can do A, B, and C. They seem nice. You know, when can you start?
Right.
Yeah. And it's much more complicated than that. Sure. And that's why these companies and business teams and small businesses have revolving doors of employees. And then bosses and business owners start thinking to themselves, well, it's so much easier to just do it myself, and it costs so much money to have somebody come in and train them, and then they're going to leave, or I'm going to have to fire them, and then I'm going to have to train somebody else. I'll just do it myself. And then their work hours start creeping up and up and up, and eventually they're working too much. And I think we got way far away from the original question.
That's okay.
But,
we're talking about
yeah.
your personal story, but this is good. I mean, you're telling us where, you know, what's – are the issues that you work on now.
Yeah.
So,
well, let me go, because, yeah, I'm glad you yeah. redirected me there. And,
yes.
So the personal story, you know, when I got out of school, first I ran a restaurant and I managed that. And the restaurant business can be crazy. You can work a ton of hours.
Right.
For some reason, and I don't know if it was my Montessori upbringing, because in Montessori, especially earlier, there's no such thing as homework. You don't have homework.
Right.
Which is so cool. And when I went to public school, like, I was like, wait, you got to, what? Why? Why would you want to bring work home with you? We're here. Why don't we do it
yeah.
now? And that, you know, so I was not ever a great homework person in my schooling going forward, but that also carried with me into the work world. And my first corporate job, I was an investment rep at Scudder Zurich Money or Mutual Funds. Also Kemper Funds, they kind of all merged and changed names a bunch of times.
Right.
But so I was an investment rep there on the phones, and then also a corporate trainer and then a manager running a team of investment reps. And in all those jobs, I was lucky that we didn't have – it wasn't the type of corporate culture where you had homework to bring home. It was
right.
just like, yeah, you're here for 8 hours, 8.5 hours. You do your job, and then you go home, and that's that. And then when I got into other – jobs. It was the same thing at the restaurant too. When I was working in the restaurant, there was nothing I really had to bring home.
Right.
And then my job after that, I was a training manager at a conferencing company. We did audio, video, and web conferencing, and I was in charge of building the training curriculum from new hire orientation through advanced career progression and working with managers and executives to make sure that their departments were running smoothly, everybody was in communication with everybody, and I instituted a customer service program across the company, because what was there was kind of disjointed and didn't really work well across other departments. You couldn't measure one department against another, see who was doing well, who needed help, because everybody was kind of running their own system.
Right.
So having been in all these different types of jobs, again, there was no homework to bring home. And I don't know if that was just me putting myself into situations like that, or luck, or what, you know, manifestation, I don't know. But I never had to bring work home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had these great experiences of seeing how small businesses run, like the restaurant that I worked at, and large global corporations ran, and how managers and how me as a manager within those corporations helped to create the business plan for the unit, train the employees, bring them in, get them going, and, you know, develop the employees along with the business plan and keep everything moving.
Wonderful experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, you know, and I look at it the same way. I now see people who are working an incredible amount of hours, and they're bringing work home with them every night on the weekends, whether it's their small business or whether they're in the corporate world. And to me, that just doesn't make sense. And I know sometimes you need to do it, but I also know that there are so many other avenues that people don't explore in terms of working with their direct supervisor to figure out ways that they can cut back on work.
Right.
And things that they can shift around, and they can be better delegators and motivators.
Exactly.
So, yeah, they can work on both ends, the people who they manage as well as the people who manage them, to decrease their work hours, you know, greatly. So that's
right.
Another sort of like my story and my why. And I just think, again, it just comes right back to we're here not to toil away in a job for 75% of our waking hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not, for most people, that's not going to get us to where we want to go. It's not going to make the world a better place. It's not going to make us healthier, happier, longer living people. It's going to do the exact opposite.
It does the opposite. You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's that phrase, don't work harder, work smarter.
Yes.
But a lot of us think that if we're raised to believe that we needed just to keep working really hard, and if we did work harder, we would be successful just through that means.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. All right. Well, the next question I wanted to ask you was to share, if you could share about one of your case studies that would give us an idea of how you work with the clients that you have and sort of the typical results that you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would be wonderful. And I'm going to have to interrupt you while you're talking because we'll be having a break in a couple of minutes. But
okay.
If you wanted to just go ahead about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, this is a really great story. I want to say it's one of my favorite clients. However, I love all my clients.
You love, yeah.
They're just, you know, because you develop the closeness, seeing, right. You know, talking with them each week and helping them through everything that's going on and seeing their lives improve, their work improve, their relationships and family improve, sometimes their health improve. It's, you know, you really can't not love your clients when you're a coach.
It's
at
like
least
a child. You can't have a favorite child.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So Andrew was a past client a few years ago, and Andrew owned a web development company. And Andrew was working about 80 hours a week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he was pulling a lot of overnighters just to get client work done and out the door. He was not getting enough sleep. He was not spending enough time with his wife. He was working most weekends. His business was just hanging on by a shoestring, by a thread. So he's kind of barely getting by. And he did manage, he had a couple vendors, designers who worked for him on a part-time basis. So he was managing people. He wasn't doing everything himself, and he wasn't trying to. But it was interesting because he came to work with me because he said, I really need help with being able to delegate. I just have this block or this thing where I feel weird about leadership and about delegating stuff. And I know that I'm taking on way too much, but I don't know how to get rid of it because it seems like it's all necessary for me to do.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I said, well, you know, what, tell me about it. And he just told me more about his business and where he was at and where he wanted to go and the work that he was specifically doing and the work that other people were doing. And one of the first things I said, and actually I think this is a great exercise for people to do if you're finding yourself working too many hours and taking on too much yourself.
Jason, before you go into that valuable exercise, because I don't want that to get cut off, I just wanted to let you know that we're going to take a brief commercial break, and that'll be great. When we come back, you can tell us about that exercise.
Awesome.
Okay, thanks.
All right, great.
Hello, amazing listeners to the I Am Radio TV Network. We thank you so very much for being here with us today. We wanted to let you know we have an amazing opportunity coming up. We have available broadcast time. If you are a coach, author, speaker, or a business person looking to get your message out to the entire planet, then please get in touch with us as soon as possible, and we will go over the various levels of participation in our network. Again, we thank you for being with us here today on the I Am Radio TV Network. Now, get ready to go interactive.
Okay, welcome back. And Jason was just about to tell us about an interesting exercise.
Yeah, great, thanks. And so I was speaking about Andrew, who is a web designer, working way too many hours, totally stressed out, pulling all-nighters to get his client work out. He had a small team of programmers under him. And it just, even though he had people working for him, just wasn't really helping as much as it could be. So when we started working together, one of the first things we did, and this seems to be a first step with a lot of my clients, is I had him do an exercise which I call your perfect job.
Mm-hmm.
And the exercise, quite simply, is to just grab a sheet of paper, a blank list, and a blank sheet of paper, and write down everything that you do in your job or in your business. And for some people, it's going to be a really long list.
Right.
And it's kind of funny.
Right.
I was talking with another client last week who's a chiropractor, and she's finding herself in a similar situation. And I said, well, let's do this. You know, let's do this exercise. And she was like, well, wait a second. Everything I do, because I run the business, that's like a lot. You mean like ordering supplies? I'm like, yes, everything. Write down everything you do, whether it's a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly, just when needed, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
Everything you possibly do, write it down. She's like, wow, okay. So she did. And so did Andrew. And then once they write it down, I say, okay, now I want you to go through and circle the things that you do that you love doing. And you would just love to keep doing these things all day, every day. Maybe not literally, maybe not, you don't want to do it every day, but you really enjoy these aspects of your job. So circle the things that you really love. Yeah. And then the next part, the next step is to cross out the things that you really hate.
Mm-hmm.
So you cross those out. And then the last part of the job is to write your own job description. So Andrew did that. You know, it's, you know, it starts with writing, taking the things that are circled, and those are the things you're probably going to focus on your, you know, your day-to-day, week-to-week tasks. And then it doesn't matter, even if they're small things, even if you love doing the ordering and you don't see that as being profit producing, profit generating, because people will look at that and say, well, this stuff isn't billable hours.
Right.
That's okay. You need to bring joy into your everyday life, and then we'll figure out, you know, the rest, who does everything else.
Right.
And the list might change, and, you know, you might end up with a list of, let's say, 20 things, and three or five or whatever number are things that you feel like, you know, I really shouldn't be doing these, even though I love doing them. That's okay. You can change it later. This isn't like something you're going to set in stone forever. But you want to then create a job description based on the circled items. So you create your own title, what title feels really good to you. And then it's a job description as if you were posting it for, you know, for looking for somebody else to hire, you're hiring somebody else. So if you're posting
to do
it on a job
board.
Yes.
To do your job. Okay.
Yeah. Looking for a highly creative, motivated, upbeat person with a great sense of humor who is excelled and experienced in this, this, and this, and will have daily responsibilities of overseeing and executing, you know, this list of things. So you want to talk about in your job description what kind of personality you're looking for in that job and in yourself that's going to fit into your company and into this role really well. Again, the dream job title that makes you just feel so good inside, so motivated, so excited, so on fire, you know, that you're like, yes, this is me. This is what I'm going to do. This is awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah.
And then... your set of things that you specifically do each day or, you know, each week, whatever it is. So that's the exercise. I want to help my clients get really, really clear on the things that are going to bring them the most joy in their business, because those things are going to propel them farthest and the fastest.
Right. Right. It's like focusing on your strengths and building your strengths rather than just trying to keep building up on your weaknesses.
Yes, absolutely. Right. If people do that, they will, you know, another one of my clients who owns a construction company, and he doesn't currently have a website, but it's been like the monkey on his back for a couple of years. Like, I need to get a website and I need to build. And I was like, okay, you know, that makes sense. But then I was like, you know, after a while, like, you're just keep procrastinating on it. You're not forcing yourself to do it. You just don't want to do this, and that's okay. That's, then don't do it. Get somebody else to do it, you know?
Right.
Just, yeah, because you're just making yourself miserable, and it's not coming, and, you know. But I also understand that pride thing of being able to say, hey, I did it. Here's this goal that I set for myself, and I finally accomplished it. Sometimes it's really good to just say screw it about our goals, let them go, because they're not the right goals for us.
Right, or find someone else to do them.
Yeah, and so Andrew was the same way, because there were some certain coding things and programming things that he absolutely loved, which didn't even fit into the business. And I said, well, you know what? If you love those so much, that's okay. Do them. Find some time. Carve out some time in your schedule. So it was more like developing mobile apps and new types of businesses and stuff, because he really was an entrepreneur at heart. So he really loved coming up with new ideas and seeing them, you know, birthing them and seeing them move forward. So, well, yeah, take some time and carve out some time that you can work on those things. He likes to call them side projects. So, yeah, work on your side projects. He's like, I can do that? Like, yeah. He's like, but it's not going to make me any money. It's not for a client. It's just for myself. I'm like, that's fine. That's great. I can do that in work hours? Yeah. I like to tell people that, you know, the only rule in running a business is that there are no rules.
Right.
You can build your business any way that you want. You can do anything you want. I mean, there are some laws. You might have to pay taxes here and there and follow some guidelines that way. But other than, you know, laws that you actually have to do, you can set this up any way that you want. You can, in terms of your income, you can set a number and say, this is the number I want to earn. I want to earn 500 grand a year, and I want to be the person solely in charge of ordering supplies. If people are like, that doesn't equate. I'm like, no, it does. It just means we help you to figure out what you need somebody else to do, write those job descriptions, hire those people, you know. So this is what we did with Andrew, figured out what holes were missing once he created his perfect job description, and then figured out how he needs to bring those people in, where there are already people there who could do some of that stuff, and it would work for them and it would excite them. That's the other part. You want to hire people who are excited by what they do and not just can do it and are desperate for a job, but who are excited by it. Yeah.
Sure. Definitely.
So we figured all that out, you know, and things got better as things started moving along. And then when he had built up enough cash, he actually hired a project manager, and then the thing like really take off. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then he was able to do so much less of the daily, just making sure, putting out fires and running around and, working with all the different designers to make sure they were all doing their stuff right. And, you know, he just oversaw the team. And then he worked on his side projects. He ended up taking, one of our goals that we worked on was to have him take one Friday off a month. You know? Yeah. 'Cause he was working like 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. And we got that down to five. And then we said, you know what, let's get that down to four, 1 week a month. So we did that. And then because his business was growing, he was bringing in more revenue. He was able to pay himself more. He ended up spending more time with his wife, and they ended up taking with that extra day off a long weekend trip every month.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So they would go somewhere for at least a 3 day. Yeah. At least a 3 day mini vacation once a month, while the business just kind of ran itself because everybody was in place. They had the right people. You know, and his stress went from like a 9 down to a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
Yeah. And then, and we only worked together. We did so over the course of 6 months.
Wow,
the last,
nice.
Yeah, it was so funny because we did most of this in about 5 months. Mm-hmm. And then the last month, I said, well, what else would you like to work on? And he's like, you know, we never really touched sales or marketing or anything that much, but I think I could probably do a little bit better in sales. I'm like, oh, okay. So I went ahead and taught him my sales conversion process, which actually, Dr. Simone, you've learned.
Yes.
Because we've
worked
together.
It. I experienced it.
Yes, you've experienced it and did pretty well with it, as I recall. So
yes,
I taught
Jason,
him that.
Jason used to be one of my coaches. And I have nothing but positive things to say about that experience.
Yeah, that was so much fun working together.
Yeah.
So I taught Andrew the Aware sales system. And it was funny because he was closing about, I want to say 20%. Yeah, he was closing 2 out of 10 people that he'd met with,
right,
qualified leads. And I said, well, let's first set a goal. Where do you want to get this conversion up to? And he said, you know, if I could just – over the course of like 2 months, if I could get it up 50%, so if I could get it from 2 out of 10 to 3 out of 10, that would be awesome. Because, you know, I mean, that's a big jump.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I was like, okay, great. Let's do it. So I taught him the process. You know, we worked on it for about 4 weeks. Actually, I taught it to him in about 2 weeks. And then we just practiced it and he started using it. And as he was using it, I was helping him to refine it. And after a month, so he had set a goal for 2 months to get up to 3 out of 10 closes.
Right.
And after 1 month, he was at 5 out of 10.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And he was like, wow. So, yeah. And then we just wrapped up our six-month engagement that way. And then I connected back with him 6 months later to hear how he was doing.
Right.
And he was still taking time off, still going on his trips. He was working on side projects. He was launching new businesses.
Wow.
Because of the side projects that he was working on. And he had doubled his income.
Oh, my gosh. That is
so
amazing.
Yeah. And a lot of it, you know, it's so funny because even our show today is mind-body. We haven't even touched on much of the mind stuff. Other than, yeah, if you go through and you see your, you know, clarify your vision and see what it is that you want and then see how everything goes together, that goes a long way. And, you know, of course, just reframing things and letting go of guilt and fear and stuff about helping you to delegate properly and be a great manager and boss.
Right.
That was one of his big hangups was fear.
Well, yeah, you mentioned his sort of discomfort with being a leader.
Yeah, absolutely. So we worked through those things too, and
yeah,
really helped it so much.
Yeah. Oops. Sorry.
So that was Andrew.
Sorry about that. Though.
No, no problem.
Okay.
Yeah, happens to me too sometimes.
Now, you referred to the mind-body nature of this show, and that's the next question I was going to ask you, getting into that, is that you do some interesting healing work in your coaching.
Yeah.
And I believe you call it the instant miracle technique.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the instant miracle technique. So there are a few – so this is really interesting. When I was working with Andrew, this was before I learned these healing techniques. And so that's like what I call traditional coaching. So working with Andrew was like traditional coaching. And then when I learned some healing techniques about three years ago, I learned it from one of my coaches, Christian Michelson. And there are a few different things I learned. One is the instant miracle technique, which is great. The peace process is awesome. Ultra high frequency energy healing, which is phenomenal. And then to go along with those different healing things, I use something called muscle testing, which some people also know as applied kinesiology is another term that people use for it. And using these techniques, like the work I did with Andrew was all about asking him questions to pull out what his visions were, what his fears were, reframing things, you know, using logic and training to show step-by-step process of how you can do things differently. And that's all really important. I still do that with my clients. The only thing is now the process goes even faster because a lot of the stuff, once you take some of those fears away from people and you, and actually take, you're not really taking them away when you're doing this work, this energy clearing, energy healing work, emotional clearing, emotional healing. You're not taking the emotions away because we have our emotions. They're part of us.
Right.
But you are reintegrating them into the core of emotions because something, so if you know, you're experiencing fear about making a call to a potential client, we've all experienced that, you know, and I've been there plenty of times. What happens is it still comes up for me now and then too. I might meet somebody at a networking event, have a great conversation. They're interested. They want to talk more. I'm interested to serve them. I'll get on the phone and even just bounce my ideas around. I'm not necessarily looking to sign them up as a client. I just want to help them. And if there is a fit and if things are supposed to go that way, you know, inevitably they will. So I'm not really focused on trying to sign up people, but I just want to be of service and help people out genuinely. And, but even knowing that, because that's the logical side.
Right.
I still might get a little twinge. I could feel it in my body, in my stomach or in my heart or in my lungs or somewhere where just because for some reason, who knows what, there's a little bit of fear there and picking up that phone.
Yeah. And I think that that has a lot to do with the subconscious and the fact that it's so much more powerful than the conscious and the logical, rational part that you were mentioning. And in our subconscious are all those fears about shin and fears about failure and all of the negative thoughts. So those, you know, have to be worked on too.
Yeah,
to be able to eliminate those as well.
Yeah. And you're right. It is, it's all subconscious stuff. And because even when it's brought to the conscious, if you don't fix it on a subconscious level, you can know it and say, yep, that's it. Oh my gosh. I've never realized, put two and two together. That's why I'm blocked on this.
Right.
And most people just say, great. Now that I know it, I can work on it and overcome it.
Right. But awareness is not enough.
Yeah. Once in a while you can be aware of it and overcome it. But most of the time it's a much more difficult. And even when you can, sometimes it's still going to be there and still going to pop back up. So as you know, helping somebody to heal whatever it was that caused it in the first place is going to be so much more powerful. It's going to serve them deeper and longer and be more permanent. And so that's what I use these techniques for. And the great thing is a lot of times we don't even have to find out what caused it, what childhood trauma of you being separated from your parents at the grocery store. And you know, that's what it was. And you had to ask a stranger for help and you know, you're not supposed to talk to strangers. And then somebody, as you're trying to think about what to do, some stranger walks over to you and asks you, are you lost, little boy or little girl? Do you need help? And then your subconscious is going, you know, what? You're having this huge emotional crisis about, you know, my mommy, who I can't find, told me not to talk to this person. And here's this person talking to me, but I need their help. And and then, you know, 30 years later, we're like scared to pick up the phone to talk to a potential client because of this event that happened 30 years ago that we're completely unaware of.
Right, exactly.
So when I do my healing techniques, a lot, most often we don't even need to figure out what it is, what, why the block is there, what caused it, which with a lot of therapies, you do need to figure that stuff out. So you can deconstruct it and then go at it. And this, yeah, you don't have to do that. And you can usually resolve it in a matter of minutes, sometimes even seconds. Instead of traditional coaching, which might take weeks or months, and therapy might take, again, you know, it might take minutes, hours, weeks or months. A lot of times, closer, I think, to the months or years.
Yeah. So it's sort of, I mean, I experienced it when I was working with you, and it's just sort of magical.
Yeah.
It seems like that. It worked so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny. I was working with one of my clients who also is a coach, and she had been blocked on moving forward with her business. So she had been coaching for about a year. She was a leadership coach. and her niche never felt quite right to her. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't sure why, but she was working a full-time job in the corporate world. So she didn't absolutely need to make this thing work, but she really wanted it. This is her new business. She really, you know, mm-hmm. put a year in, she really wanted it. And during, I think it was our second session, we were working on this and we used these techniques and stuff. And after about half an hour, we found some really big blocks about why. Again, a lot of times you don't even need to find the why, but sometimes you do mm-hmm. once in a while. And we did, and we found out what was holding her up. And it was just feeling guilt about her current job and what would happen if she, A, grew her business and started taking clients, but also there would be a conflict of interest with her current job, and would she be competing with her own company, and what would that do, and like all this stuff. And she was oblivious to that for a year.
Yeah.
You know, and then working together for about 30 minutes, we figured it out, zeroed in on it, released it. And it was so funny because, you know, you brought up the magic term.
Right.
And after 30 minutes, she was like, oh my God, Jason, you're like some kind of wizard or something.
Jason, the wizard coach.
Yeah. So it really is. Yeah, it really is. And not only that, it's great. These healing methods work on physical stuff as well. So, I mean, I've helped people to release like allergies mm-hmm. and pain in their foot, shoulders, injuries,
mm-hmm.
Things like that. Even I play volleyball, and a couple months ago, somebody on my team was limping after our game. I walked up and I said, I noticed there's something, did you hurt your leg or something? She's like, oh yeah, I hurt it a long time ago and just got worse this past week. And then tonight playing for 2 hours, you know, it really hurts a lot. And I was like, well, I might be able to help you with that, you know, if you'd like. And she was like, oh, are you like a doctor or something? And I was like, well,
something.
No, not exactly. So sometimes there are some awkward conversations around the healing stuff. But again, I just really love helping people.
Mm-hmm.
So I throw caution to the wind, and you know, if they're going to think I'm really strange, because it is out there, and I didn't believe it when I first heard of it
right.
years ago. I was like, no, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm way too analytical and pragmatic to really buy into this stuff. And then I went to a workshop and I saw it and I started experiencing it and I started feeling it. And I was like, holy wow, this stuff's real.
It works.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, then I kind of helped my friend or my teammate on volleyball with her foot issue that she had for quite a while. It felt instantly better, not 100% fixed, but a ton better. And then over time it got better, you know, all the way. So
right.
Yeah, stuff is pretty amazing.
Very, it sounds like it's very powerful, and it just reaffirms the sort of the unity between our minds and our bodies.
Yes. And
brain,
that,
mind, and body.
Yeah. And it was funny. I was speaking with somebody else on another volleyball team, kind of similar thing. She actually, during a game, she pulled up and grabbed her thigh.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, ooh, that looked really, and we're in the middle of the game, so it didn't even occur to me to like send her some healing energy, because that's the other thing. I do this stuff with my clients. Sometimes when I'm not even talking with them on the phone, they could be mm-hmm. across the world. I have clients in other countries, and mm-hmm. I'll work on them and send them healing energy and clearing energy, even when they don't even know it.
Right.
And then
right.
we get on the phone and I say, well, how was your week? And they're like, oh, I had this thing come up where I was really uncomfortable on moving forward on this thing. And then around Tuesday, all of a sudden it just felt better and I was able to do it. I'm like, well, actually,
yeah,
Tuesday morning I was sending you,
fingers.
They're like, oh, and then if they're in tune with feelings in their body and energy, and a lot of people aren't, and that's okay. And I'm not always, and I certainly wasn't when I began this stuff, but sometimes after you get used to it, you can start feeling it. They're like, you know, I kind of thought I felt some little flutter going on, but I didn't know what that was. They're like, that was you.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I was talking to this other woman on my volleyball team, and she pulled up something on her hamstring. And then I started, I walked over to her, and she looked so cautious and freaked out by, like, who is this weird man and what is he talking about?
Yeah.
Because she thought I was going to, like, try to give her, like, a physical exam right there in the gym. And I'm like, no, I'm actually not even going to touch you.
Right.
And then, interestingly, that didn't help her. That made her, it made it sound even weirder.
Right, right.
Yeah. So then she was like, she kind of rolled her eyes and said, yeah, okay. So, okay. So then I started doing some muscle testing for diagnostic to figure out what's going on. And I got very quickly that there was something related to her work where she was really stressed at work.
Oh.
And I said, you know, are you, right now, are you stressed a lot at work? Is there something going on that you're particularly stressed about? She's like, well, I'm a waitress. And I said, oh, okay. And I haven't been in the restaurant business for so long, for like 20 years. And it didn't even dawn on me what she meant. And I was like, okay, so yeah, is there anything in your waitressing job that's really stressful? And she's like, every day is really stressful.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, what's going on with your leg right now is actually related to the stress you're feeling right now at work. And she looked at me like I was crazy because she's like,
right.
No, I pulled it, you know, a couple days ago. She's like, it'll be fine. I'm just going to go home. I'm going to put some ice on it. It'll be fine. I said, no, well, okay, you probably should go home and do that. But give me, honestly, just give me 30 seconds here. So like, okay. And then I just said, you know, said, okay, so this relates to stress. Is there anything else we need to know? Using muscle testing. I'm like, no, there's nothing else we need to know. Asking questions out to the universe, not to her, not to me, but, and then the universe gives me the answers. And I use muscle testing to figure out, you know, what's a yes and what's a no. And then found the energy block using some miracle technique, which is really as quick as taking in a breath, a deep breath, mm-hmm. and letting the energy subside. Sometimes I have to do multiple breaths because there's multiple layers to an energy mm-hmm. block. So I just did two breaths. There were two layers to it. And again, I didn't have to figure out what they were. I didn't have to figure out why she was stressed. Was it a boss thing or a customer thing or whatever? I don't know. Luckily, I didn't even have to care. I took a couple breaths. And I said, okay, well, I'm done. You know, I certainly hope that feels better. And yes, I would, you know, if you need to put ice on it, that's great. Drink a lot of water also. Because when at a time we do energy work, we always want to hydrate,
right.
keep ourselves very
right.
well hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, okay, rolled her eyes again, walked away. She took two steps. Then she stopped. She turned around. She goes, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's all gone. What
wow.
did you do? And I explained a little bit deeper. I said, well, it's this energy healing stuff. And, you know, it was, like I said, it was tied to your work. I don't even know what it was, but, you know, we released that. So hopefully your leg will be better now. And when you get to work, that should be better too.
Right, right.
So, like, going back to what you said, it's all connected.
It's all connected. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she thanked me profusely. And
I'm sure.
That was fun. I love it. Love this
well,
stuff.
Yeah, I can tell. You're so passionate about it. And, you know, it's wonderful. It's just so awesome to be able to speak with somebody who's so passionate about the work that they do and about helping other people. And
yeah.
Coming to our close, I wanted to make sure to direct the listeners to your website. It's www.distinctivecoaching.com. www.distinctivecoaching.com. And so please visit Jason's website. You've heard that he's a wizard at what he does. And it surely seems to be, and it's definitely a caring person. So
thank you
so much for joining us today.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And I really love reconnecting with you because when we worked together, we had so much fun.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful to see you having your own show now.
Yes.
That's
awesome, right?
Yeah.
It's
and
wonderful.
Awesome. And I listened to some of the past shows and, you know, just so excited for you, Dr. Simone, and everybody that you're helping and, you know, the great work that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Jason.
Thank you for bringing me on and letting me be a part of it.
Absolutely. And we'll have our replays up so you can tell, you know, other people about listening and share that with other people as well that you know.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, take care and hope we can talk again soon.
Yeah, we will. No doubt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to an end of the Dr. Simone Show, The Mind Body Edge. And I thank you so much for joining me. And I will see you again next week. Or, sorry, in 2 weeks. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.